Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire. On today's program, Greg Lehman of Startup Waco. Hosting the conversation is Nan Holmes. This program was recorded February 8, 2018 in the KWBU studio.
Hello, my name is Nan Holmes, and welcome to the Central Texas Leadership Series. Today I'm visiting with Greg Lehman of Baylor University, and also we'll be visiting with him about a very exciting new venture, Startup Waco. Greg, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Nan.
Before we talk about your leadership journey, I always want to know about a person's early years. Where were you born? Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school?
Well, I was born and grew up in the Midwest. I guess you could say I'm a farm kid and came from a big family, 9 children.
Wow.
The second oldest. And I don't know, some combination of that probably set me on a path early on there's a lot of demands for help from the older kids in a pack of 9. And so I learned about pitching in quite early in my life.
And I know this is true. I'm just curious, how many children, do you have children?
I do. I have,
but not 9?
I do not have 9.
I've heard before that children who come from big families usually have smaller families. There's pluses and minuses to a very large family.
There certainly are.
So looking back on those days, who stands out? Anyone in your parents, your school, who just kind of got you thinking, maybe I can be a leader?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say that it was instilled in me early on that my choices and decisions really matter, and there's a way to do life that has a positive impact and a way to, mm-hmm. to not. But I do remember a rather poignant moment in my Boy Scout days.
Oh, yeah.
When a scout leader was not happy with some of the behavior that he had seen from several of us. And after he dealt with that, he pulled me aside and lectured me. He said, "You don't realize it yet, but you're a leader. So it really matters what you do because others will follow." And that was the first time anybody had said that to me. And it really got my attention.
So does he come to mind sometime over all these years? Do you still?
I think about Bill Hall often, yes, and the whole experience I had in scouting.
When you were in high school, did you have anyone who – were you a leader in high school?
Was president of my class 1 year.
Wow.
I think I wasn't an athlete. You know, I wasn't recognized in that way. I was more one of the nerdy kids. But I got a lot of encouragement to explore. I think the best thing about high school for me was I got encouraged to explore all my gifts and interests. And so in addition to the pre-college track, you know, I was in art every year and doing drafting classes. And, I liked the creative side as well as the science side. And that just helped me round out mm-hmm. as a person.
So where did you go to college?
My undergraduate degree was from Purdue University. I grew up in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the choice for engineering and actually recruited me. I got to spend a summer camp there after my junior year and really found out what engineers do, which was pivotal because I had intended to become an architect. And what I learned about chemical engineering in particular so captivated my attention because of the problems that engineers who had this background would be able to solve, like developing medicines to mm-hmm. deal with pollution, to deal with energy. You might remember we had a bit of an energy crisis in the early 70s.
Oh, yes. Long lines waiting for gasoline.
And so it was – that's Purdue was a great place for me to get a start.
Well, and then from Purdue?
Well, I went to work for Dow Chemical, mm-hmm. and I was up in Michigan, And they had a program that encouraged people to go back for graduate degrees. And at the time, it was only for up to 2 years. And I really wanted, because of an experience I had working with one of their top engineering scientists, a man by the name of George Quarter, and just as I saw him unravel a very complicated problem, and just as I was a grunt engineer on the team, I got inspired to go get a PhD because I said, I really care about being able to do the kind of work George is doing. And so they adapted this two-year program, and I was the first recipient of a four-year grant that helped me move my family to Illinois and earn my master's and PhD there from the University of Illinois with their help.
Yeah, good school. Well, that's interesting. That was an investment by Dow, I guess. And
yes,
that happens a lot, that we never think about them as helping their employees to get graduate degrees. And it sounds like at that point you had a mentor who was helped you want to go further and
indeed,
maybe.
Indeed. Boy, I can see the face not having ability to pull up the name, but there was a person in senior leadership who administered the two-year program. And I basically had to pitch to him why it made sense for them to consider doing a four-year grant. And they, I think it was also because there was becoming such a shortage of chemical engineering PhDs, because industry was hiring even the professors. There was so much demand for chemies at that time. And so this was a way for them to do something about the fact that they were, as one person told them, they're eating their own seed corn. And yeah. So it was, again, timing can be everything. And so I got to take advantage of that, and they were very good to me.
So how did you come to Waco, and when did you come to Waco?
Came to Waco in 2005. I had visited here about a year and a half earlier to come and see some dear friends of ours who had moved from University of Illinois to Baylor. And I have to confess, at that point, what I knew about Baylors were that you followed them around on a wagon and stacked the bales, because that was one of my summer jobs. But so I didn't know what Baylor was. I had no idea about its ambitions or reputation. But when I came here, I got really intrigued by its commitment to be a place in the world that is top-notch in scholarship and teaching and is true to Christian faith and Christian ideals and values. And I felt like that would be something that would be fun to be part of. And one thing led to another. And so I got invited to come to entrepreneurship, because they had been trying to connect the engineering side of campus to the business side of campus and do more technology-based entrepreneurship. They had long been famous for their insights into family business and small business management, but really at that point in time didn't have anything happening to do the tech side. And I was a person who had grown up in a form of technology, had migrated into more business leadership roles over the 25 years in the industry. And so they said, why don't you come do this? And they put a package together so that I could take the risk of leaving a well-established career and starting over. And so
So you just took the plunge. You just
– Absolutely.
Well, that's great. I think I was talking to someone this week about how hard it is to leave everything you know and just go. You know something about Baylor, but you don't know everything. But with a leap of faith, you did come.
I did.
And one of the reasons I wanted to visit with you is because I saw this. It really popped out to me, that interesting article in the Trib, Waco Tribune Herald, about the brand new project coming to town, Startup Waco. And I looked at that and I thought, gee, that is something that is going to be very impactful. It's going to impact this whole community. And that is something we really do need. And the more I read, the more that I realized that it's a great opportunity to help Waco grow in a positive way. And what we need are some positive news and ideas in this time of some uncertainty. I think we're having a year of chaos. maybe. And this, I read it a couple of times because I was so interested in what this Startup Waco was all about. And so I wanted to have you here today. And if you're just joining us, this is Nan Holmes with Central Texas Leadership. And today I'm visiting with Greg Lehman of Baylor University and Project Startup. And though, tell me all about it. How did you get the name? I think you're calling it, it's Project Startup, but it, how do you, it's the name Hustle.
Okay. Well, yes. So first of all, why does there need to be something called Startup Waco? And what came about is a group of leaders from across the Waco community in all the sectors, from university folks, business, the foundations, and governments had gone to some cities where they saw the kind of space and environment and the feel of a truly vibrating entrepreneurial community. And so first of all, one thing is Waco is famous for entrepreneurship in multiple ways. I mean, Baylor has one of the leading programs for many, many years, has helped invent the academic field of entrepreneurship. And there's all kind of entrepreneurial activity. But when you – so you could tell yourself, we're already a great city for entrepreneurs. But when you go to one of these environments and you see how people coming together and collaborating on that and the energy that creates, that's what happened to a group of people about a year and a half ago. And they came home and said, we got to stop sort of kidding ourselves and recognize that we need to change, you know, up our game. And so when environments like that are created, two things happen, two kinds of sets of people come together. One is the idea people and the innovators and the people who are toying with how they might create value but don't have the courage or the support to do it. But the other thing that comes together are all the people who are already helping in various ways. We sometimes refer to them as entrepreneurial support organizations. In if they don't have a formal connection, then it's just kind of chance whether they collaborate or whether they take a client and walk them over to one of the other support organizations that they're really better at this aspect than me. You know, that kind of true one community coming together for the creation of new businesses doesn't happen unless you formalize it. And so that's what Startup Waco is all about. Now, you asked about Hustle. And so the two main observations over about a year's worth of just looking deeply and reflecting on what we have and don't have here in Waco told us two things. One, most of what we need is in place. It's just fragmented. So we can fix that by the formalizing process and somebody actually paying attention to getting people in the same room. But the other thing, that there's a few gaps. And one of the biggest gaps is there is no physical front door to a public campus for entrepreneurs. I mean, I've worked at and created the launch accelerator out at the Brick. You got to drive up and wait for a gate to open, and you got to get past, you know, the front reception, and because it's a controlled environment, it's not a walk-in environment, so it doesn't feel like a place anybody in town should be just walking into to get help. Others don't have those kind of barriers, but you know, they aren't all connecting the dots. But this front door that's so necessary will be both a place where you can work. You know, co-working spaces are very popular. You know, you can look at WeWork as an amazing brand in that space around the world now. There's one in Austin. And so part of it is that kind of co-working, you know, buzzy environment. But the other part that why it needs to be a public campus, and really what Startup Waco is determined to do is make it also the complete resource center, not just space. We need to have connections to every form of support that is in Waco and that we're going to add to Waco be accessible from one front door. And so that's that co-working space, that resource center, that front door is what is going to be labeled Hustle. And that brand will exist downtown. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for everybody to get to.
Well, yeah, when I worked downtown many years ago, when this station used to be KCTF, we were in St. Charles on 6th and Austin Avenue. There was nothing downtown. There was a little sandwich shop. Now, where is, tell me a little bit more about 605 Austin.
Yes, that's the Woolworth Suite. It's right next to Jake's.
Yeah,
diner.
Well, people know.
And it is, the bottom floor of that is 5,000 square feet of unused space. And we've taken on a lease for that. And we're in the process of raising the money to renovate it. That is, that's the part of the roughly $2 million that are going to be needed to start this up and run it for 3 years to get it on its feet. About $750,000 is going to be required to renovate that space, and that's what we're in the process of gaining economic development money for, in kind of recognition that it's a hard asset and it's an easier kind of investment for them to make because it'll stay on the tax rolls and so on, no matter what happens there. But yes, that space hopefully will be up and running in the next 6 months.
Wow, that is so exciting. I remember, as I was telling you, Lou Billings and the Business Resource Center, which closed a number of years ago, it was sort of an incubator. But now as you're talking and I am hearing your vision, it's really they needed the buy-in of everybody, and that is really crucial to the success of this project.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, ma'am.
And I noticed when I read your bio that they describe you as a corporate engineer. Did you move from the chemical to the corporate?
Well, yeah, I think the way I like to tell people, you know, we often look for the serial entrepreneur, you know, somebody who's started and sold and started again multiple times. I'm a serial intrapreneur. I was always driving for new products and innovations inside the corporate setting, because chemicals are typically not made by little startup companies. There takes a lot of capital to be an industrial chemical company. So that I think what people were trying to capture is that aspect, that I've always been an innovator and a problem solver. But before I came here, the environment was almost always within the corporate setting as opposed to the startup world.
Yeah. And when I think of leaders, they just fit just all kind of categories. And I see you as someone who sort of jumps, now that we've been talking, you jump out there and you like to take things from the ground up. Is that right?
That is absolutely true.
And so you are on loan to this project. Can you describe a little bit about how – was this something you had and you sold it to other people, or as soon as you heard about it, you decided, well, I'm just going to jump out there and take a chance with this?
Well, it's probably a combination of both. Early in the journey, as people were exploring what are the assets already in Waco, one of the Baylor folks said, well, you know, you realize that there's this – group called Launch over at the Brick, and they already do a whole bunch of these things that you think we don't have here. And you know, so we ought to invite Greg to come and join this conversation. And so over about 6 months of, you know, traveling together to other cities and learning at, we six of us went together to the International Conference for Incubators and Business Incubator Association up in Seattle last year. And I guess what emerged in other people's view was that among the people on the team, I probably had the most experience and had the deepest content knowledge about how you manage innovation, how you foster cultures that are innovative. And so I was kind of like a social or a local subject matter expert in a way. And from my side, it became clear that this is being involved with this, whether it was just by having Launch really fully engaged or having a larger role, what was really important. This is the level of impact that we've always wanted to have in the community is now possible. And so it was very natural for me when the idea came up, said because we talked to a group, I think it was up in Iowa, who had done a similar startup of an effort by borrowing an executive from John Deere. And they called, you know, we had a loaned executive. And so the team came back and said, well, I wonder if Baylor would loan us Greg. And so conversation started. And, you know, that's not easy because there's a lot that we need to continue to do in our own shop.
Yeah.
You know, we're ramping up a lot of technologies coming out of Baylor, for example. And so, but as we all thought about it, we said, we think we can get the best of both worlds, and we just need to lean into this and make it happen.
Well, it sounds as though, you know, maybe this did happen or maybe it did not happen, but sometimes people say, that just isn't going to work, or this might not happen, or we've never done it that way. Did you get any pushback?
On the idea of me
no,
leading
no,
it?
No, of
on,
the
on,
whole
oh, okay.
concept.
Well, I think the hardest part is that we need a public investment alongside private investment. And one of the questions you have to ask yourself if you're a steward of public funds is, am I taking tax dollars from a whole bunch of people and just helping one or two?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really in the interest of the whole community? Or is it not? And that's something that all of us, you know, had to think through. But I think that, you know, our observation was when this is done well, it lifts the whole community. It you can't help but have benefits to everybody if instead of low-paying jobs, you have higher-paying jobs for more of your people. And if you have a real open pathway from the innovators and entrepreneurs who come from lower socioeconomic class and don't have their own resources at the beginning, if we really welcome and enable them, then, you know, the ripples are unpredictable how they're going to flow. But what is predictable is that the whole
all
water level,
rise.
All the boats rise
yeah.
if you do it right. And so, Nan, on that note, I just what I want our listeners to understand is that in the view of the leadership team, this is not a success if 5 years from now, 7 years from now, we look back and we say only part of Waco really benefited. This has to work for everybody because we know that great ideas are not just in a few pockets of our population. They're in all the town. And it is, so it's critical to us that everybody gets included and feels that.
Well, you know, that is a beautiful vision, I think, for any community. But for Waco, that is a wonderful vision, and that it seems like you are able to articulate that vision. And that's always the tough part, is to just be able to have your elevator speech, your vision speech, where no matter who you talk to, you can explain to them what it is you're trying to do. And I saw on the news, I think it was last night, these two young men who put a brewery in East Waco.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm for you. I want you to succeed. And I think that this community will back you the more they know about what is the vision for this project. And if you're a young person with a dream, where would you say to start?
Well, call me. You know,
yeah.
Kevin Renoir and I are the team right now, and a lot of the young people know him through his work with 1 Million Cups, and
yes.
That's a, you know, a great, you know, flagship kind of program, and we want to hear from you because we want to hear from even the people who don't think we're going to be able to help, because we can still shape this so that we do, and you know, we just launched a website called startupwaco.com, I think. And we do have a Facebook page. I'm sure you can pass on contact information, but just reach out, be part of the conversation. Your requests and your input matter to us.
Well, I hope that all people listening will remember this, and when they know someone who's got a great idea, because one of my personal mottos is from Shakespeare, nothing ventured, nothing gained. I think that is the hard part. You're afraid someone is going to say, that's not a good idea. That'll never work. Not here in Waco. I think I've heard that throughout the years. This is not Austin. This is not Dallas. But maybe it's its own special place.
Well, I believe it is. I believe we have momentum now. This is a unique time. And we need to seize the moment.
Well, that is so exciting. I read in that article about one of the companies who went to Nashville and said the room was electric. That's what I envision, that you will have a storefront property that will be electric. And I think that it's very encouraging to me, because it's just that, again, jumping out there and saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try it. If we fail, well, we fail. But we at least can say that we have tried this.
That is a great thought. One thing that I've learned coaching now more than 100 teams over the last several years is that failure is just an indication that a particular way you thought you could make this happen is not going to work. And so as Churchill told us, you know, failure is not fatal. And we've had the experience that over 75% of the teams that have come to us find a way to create value and go forward. I would say out of those original ideas they had, maybe it's like everybody else. 1 out of 10 was actually right, what they thought would happen. But it's about your willingness to learn and rethink and find the value that the path to creating the value you're trying to create.
And I think that's a great way for us to end this conversation. Greg, thank you so much for coming in today. This has been so informative, and I look forward to having you back maybe in 6 months or a year, and we can talk some more about what's going on.
I'll come anytime you ask.
Thanks.
This program was recorded February 8, 2018 in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org under the Programs tab, Central Texas Leadership Series.